Romans, the 6th chapter. What shall we say then? Are we to continue to sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God, so that you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God, that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. For our meditation on God's word today, we welcome Pastor William Sable, Our Savior Lutheran Church, Winnebago, and St. Peter Lutheran Church, Easton, Minnesota.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm sure you've been to a buffet. You know, one of those restaurants where you pay at the door and then you can eat all you want? Where you can have your main course two or three times and even have your dessert before you eat your main course. Maybe you're also like me and you tend to avoid those places because you know you'll eat too much and you'll overindulge. I share this example of the buffet because it illustrates something that was going on in the church at Rome in St. Paul's day. There were those who treated sin in that same respect. They thought, in essence, it was almost like a buffet. They understood clearly that Jesus had paid for their sins by his death, that he had paid for all sins, and that the price of his death was great, for it was not simply one which he bought with gold and silver, but he paid for our sins with his holy, innocent, and precious blood. And it is now no longer sin which keeps us from the Father, but only rejection of that gift. And so they reasoned, if God has paid for our sins thus, and we need to make that price valuable, we need to get all we can from the death, and so we should simply continue in sin. For in that way, Christ's death is actually made more valuable. Paul responds with the first verse of our chapter 6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he answers, as I'm sure we all would expect, certainly not. Sin is bad. We know that. We should avoid that. But why? Why is it we should avoid sin? What is wrong with what the Romans thought? Jesus has paid for all of our sins, so why should we worry about them? Paul goes on to explain, you've already passed through death in your baptisms. In your baptisms, you died with Christ, and now do you want to continue living in them? You see, his point is this. Jesus, yes, had to die for our sins because sin is death. Sin is bad for us. It harms us. And even if we might not think otherwise, it is the case. Let me give you an illustration. Consider the fifth commandment, thou shalt not murder. Jesus points out this means more than simply not taking a life in vengeance, that even when we hate our brother in our heart, we have committed murder against him already. And when you do hate someone, how does that affect you and him? The other person may not even recognize that you hate him, and it doesn't affect them all that much unless they return the hate. But you, if we hate someone, we're agitated by their very thought. What they're doing or where they're at might cause us to actually be physically ill, might raise our blood pressure and cause our life to be out of control. If we can let go of that hate and love them instead, as our Lord calls for us to love our enemy, life is better. Yes, we might be disappointed in what they're doing or saddened by what they do, but it doesn't consume our entire life. Paul shares this with us. Sin hurts. Yet he also recognizes that this is difficult. We are slaves to sin. And so he calls us to recognize how we break free from being slaves to sin, by being slaves to righteousness. That is, he calls us to be where our Lord is found. He calls us to be in God's Word, to be strengthened by that which helps us to break free of our sin. For as we are in God's Word, as we hear that Word preached to us, as we are convicted by our sins by the Word of God, the Spirit moves into our hearts, and He is the one who helps us to let go of sin. He is the one who, in our example, helps us to let go of hate, and in place of that hate, fills us with the love of God towards our neighbor. And so it is good to be a slave to righteousness, to choose to place yourself in the place where our Lord is found, to feed on His Word and to be strengthened by the bread of life. For in so doing, we receive that free gift and we put to death the wages of sin. We have life in its place and life eternal in our Lord. Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Amen.
We thank Pastor William Sable for today's meditation on God's Word.